We're just some little farm girls pushing through.
The Growing the Future podcast is brought to you by Eberhardt Ag Solutions. Join us as we talk to top entrepreneurs in the agricultural space about their methods of obtaining success in their endeavors. And now, your host, Dan Eberhardt.
Yeah, so we're talking about the tulips, and we immediately jump to the origin story. Yeah. Season 1, episode 1 of the tulips. How did you get the name?
Well, our neighbor boy, he's autistic and same age as Steph. And we would be driving, and he would see us in our truck, and he would shout to his mom, "The tulips!" Every couple days he would see us, because we live very close to each other. And that kind of, when we decided to start this platform, that was easily our name choice. Yeah.
So is he giving dividends now that you guys are big stars?
We should. We really should.
Shout out to Josh Cron.
Hey, great work. Love it. Taking the name international.
Yeah.
You guys started a page about 2 years ago, and like we were talking about at lunch, it's on the cusp of turning into something bigger. It's kind of a platform that you guys are bringing farming and fashion and you know, things about your family to the world. Tell me a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, and your farming gig and whatnot.
Well, I'm Cassandra, and I'm the older sister. I have a business degree from Brandon University, and I always thought I would work for Springland, our family business. But I started farming while going to school, and it just stuck, and I really liked it and continued on.
I'm Stephanie, so I'm the younger sister. I went to school to be a graphic designer, thought I'd work in marketing in my dad's company, and then just I didn't like being on the computer screen all day, and I'd rather be out in the field running equipment, and yeah, I really like that better.
Doing a lot of marketing now though, I see.
Yeah.
Kind of fell right back into it.
Still, I'm in that, and I do stuff for my dad and my mom's companies.
So the big thing that I wanted to know is, did you guys actually finish harvest this year?
Yes,
so I was there with you in the pain.
We did.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
I think it was November 23rd that I finished the soybeans on snow. One of the last fields of soybeans, we just drove circles and got maybe 70% of it off because it was so wet. It was a bit of a nightmare. But we finished, and that's a lot luckier than a lot of people got this year. So
I think we were lucky too, because we did barley this year. It was a third of our farm, so that was done early before all the rain. And
the farm, how do you guys manage roles, and who does what?
I do all the seeding, and Steph does all the prep work.
Yeah, I do all the prep work, and then spraying. I took over this year with the ground sprayer.
And then we both run a combine in the fall, and our dad is usually the one trucking, although sometimes it's Bill, our hired hand, who's really our dad's hired hand, so he just helps out when he has to for us. This year was the first year we did it pretty much on our own with no hired hands. It was just us and dad and Bill sometimes and dad sometimes. So it was us full time and those two sometimes.
Yeah, so maintenance was a little hectic.
Yeah. But
so one of your guys' themes is positivity. What was positive about farming in 2019?
I really felt like I learned more this year because some years we've had three guys helping us with maintenance and just keeping stuff running, and this year we didn't. So
we learned a lot,
and we took over the ground sprayer from last year. Years before, we've had another guy doing that.
How long have you guys been farming?
Well, I'm 31, and I started when I was, I want to say 19 lightly, and then I've probably been seeding for a decade now because our dad doesn't want to be in there at all. He's got his own projects.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. A little bit less for me, I guess, because I'm younger. Yeah.
And your dad's pretty busy with the inventing and manufacturing side, I guess, eh?
Yeah, he's a big R&D guy, always thinking of new ideas, always with Springland, he's a big push behind their R&D and then other projects, and then we also have the plane. So he's got a lot of things going on.
With the farm, you learned some things this year. What are you going to apply this next year?
Hopefully start our
maintenance. Tough
question. Wow. Start our maintenance earlier. Yeah, start maintenance earlier. Not the day before
you
start.
Yeah.
A lot of times we get hung up on our dad's schedule because he's the one who's doing the key behind the maintenance is learning from him and Bill, and they're doing other R&D projects we got a seed. So
they don't ever want to take time off to fix stuff. Her dad hates fixing.
And we like to be a little more proactive than that. So I guess we will keep trying to push that. So, and the more we learn, the more proactive we can be on our own without their input. So
you guys have a lot of crazy plans for the farm in the future.
I'd say we want to grow it a little bit more, buy some more land.
I think both of us would like to move a little bit into the manufacturing side, which is another side of our life. Keep our farm, but maybe push that side too, so that we're a little diversified for our income.
Right.
Yeah. Especially the years like last year, you're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to have other options.
Well, how big is this platform going to get? I mean, are you going to be farming and YouTubing, or YouTubing and farming?
Well, we haven't gone into the YouTube yet because we're not so good with the videography.
Yeah, we need that would require another person.
Yeah, but I don't know. The Instagram's kind of gone hand in hand with the farming. Some of our shots are a little bit more in depth and take a little bit longer. But oftentimes if we're farming and it's a farm shot, it took 5 minutes. We got it done and then we went back to work. We're doing them in the moment. So that part's pretty easy. So I think it'll grow with us.
Yeah.
You mean you didn't just rent a farm for the Instagram page?
No,
this is my farm. It's amazing. It's really the neighbors calling by?
No.
We are renting some of our land,
but legitimately.
That's cool. Yeah. Many of us do, and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
So what is it that you guys grow, and how many acres do you got, and what kind of operation is it?
I thought it was rude to ask how many acres.
Is it?
I don't know. I thought that was
back up the truck. I asked something inappropriate here.
No.
How many acres, Dad? What's your gross margin? You guys get into your gross margin?
I don't know. This year was not good. No.
Negative what?
Yeah.
Hey, it's a positive show. We can't go.
No, we have a couple thousand acres. We do want to grow it a little bit. We grew malt barley for the first time this year, and it went really well.
Was
that
really
was our best crop this year. We do canola. We do
straight
soybeans.
Cut canola.
Straight cut canola only. Yeah, that's a lot of the neighbors. We hate swathing, but
really
do not. We haven't swathed in 8 years.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
It's very controversial,
it's extremely controversial.
Yeah, we definitely.
I don't know if we want to go there on this podcast. No. Straight cut canola.
Well, we like it better.
Yeah, my brother's a big fan. Yeah,
come at us if you want it.
So you guys like running the machinery? It seems like you have a lot of fun out there. I mean, the dogs seem to like it.
Our dogs.
Your German shepherds.
We don't have German shepherds. I wish.
I thought they were like some sort of strain of German shepherd mini. German Shepherd?
Boston Terrier. It's like close. My dog doesn't actually, she doesn't like coming. But she's very introverted. She hates the loudness. But
your dog is
my
always
dog's
good.
Everywhere with me. She's, I guess that would stem back to a little bit of mental health. She is my security blanket, and I just enjoy having her with me at all times.
Do you get registered for like emotional care dog or something like that?
I do, but I don't, that's a controversial thing too. The only reason I do is because, well, I shouldn't say this, but my husband's family goes to the mountains every year, and that hotel will not let any dogs up there.
Here we go. We won't mention any particular chain.
I only abuse it then.
It's not really abuse because it is a really thing.
Really, I do struggle with anxiety, and she really keeps me level-headed as much as I can be.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So she really is.
She really is my support. Yeah.
So you can take it more on the plane?
Yeah, we pay for them to go on the plane. You pay like $50 a trip with WestJet, but yeah, they fly everywhere with us.
These dogs, they can go into Starbucks, they can go into planes. It's amazing. Yeah.
I don't know about Starbucks.
I don't take Starbucks.
They can. My sister's crossed that threshold.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I can refer you guys if you want.
I can take my one Great Dane to some restaurants here, but
yeah.
Oh, emotional care dog. You can write into
Starbucks.
Well,
she's a therapy dog, so
yeah. Therapy dog.
I take her to hospitals, but
yeah, Steph does a lot of volunteer with her one dog.
Do they? Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So tell us a little bit more. You have a dog.
Well, we started in November, I think, and we go once a week to the Brandon Hospital. We go to, like, all the wards, any floor. We spend usually 4 to 5 hours there, I would say. And then we go to the Rivers Personal Care Home and Hospital once a week, too.
Yeah. That's amazing. Once a week.
Mm-hmm. It's an extremely commitment. Special dog. She just...
Yeah, she is amazing. I knew she had to do that because she loves everybody. And she... Like, Danes are a good height, actually, for hospitals because they can reach. If somebody's in bed, they can reach her. She puts her head on them. And, yeah, it's really good.
She's a one-in-a-million dog. I think Steph felt selfish keeping her to ourselves because she's just such a big-hearted animal.
So what's the interaction like with this dog and the people?
Most people really like her unless they don't like dogs. There's some people that don't want to see her, but I'd say 95% of people really light up when they see her.
Yeah. You got to remember this is a 130-pound black animal.
Yeah, like she's a bit scary. She can be scary to some people, but
she's a big girl.
Yeah. And, like, lots of times she'll come up to you and put her head, like, either on their chest or if they're laying in bed or, it's very sweet.
We were talking about core values over lunch and a few of your core values, one of them being mental health.
Yeah, we like to talk about it quite often, I would say. One of our friends on Instagram, Tara Beaver Vineyards is her handle. She started Mental Health Monday, and we like to participate in that because it's just a good thing to talk about. Farmers have more mental health problems or more susceptible to mental health problems than the majority of the public because I think we're secluded, we're by ourselves.
Have a lot of pressure.
Most of it is male dominated and men don't like to talk about being emotionally weak. We like to push that it's okay to not be okay and to talk about it.
Yeah. And everything, like a lot of stuff is kind of out of your control, like weather and So
we want our page to stay positive, but also real. And that's a big important factor to us. Cause a couple years ago, I had a really bad bout of anxiety and it's just not a fun place to be. So,
So you mentioned the dogs help.
Yeah.
What else do you guys do to handle that anxiety and mental health?
I did see a therapist in that moment and it did help, but honestly, our family is so tight that family and our dogs
and good and the friend horses, groups.
Friend group. Just being outside with the horses really helps me a lot too. Like doing that really is soothing to me.
So is the isolation of the farm a really big part of that?
Yeah, I would say sometimes because a lot of times when we're working, we don't see our friends for months at a time. We have a good group of friends, but I think when you're a farmer and you travel as much as we do, your friends have to understand that you're not going to be there all the time. And sometimes you lose people through that.
Yeah.
Not meaning to, but like a lot of people want their friends around at all times. And the friends that we do have are okay seeing us once a month or once every 3 months. And we still have the same connection. But you don't see them very much when you're farming.
No.
Yeah.
So is the social media helping with the mental health?
I would say it does. Because I find, like, a lot of people now are, like, posting about their struggles so you can relate a lot more. It's less of a highlight reel, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming more popular.
And we don't put value, like, our personal value is not on our page. So if somebody gives us we have had very positive interactions, but if we have a negative interaction, that's not our life. Our life is our family, our friends, and our animals. So we don't take it personally, and I think as long as you keep it that way, then it's, like, if some stranger comes at you, you shouldn't let it drag your life down.
And we've made, like, so many good friends from Instagram that we never would have met outside of it, so that's been really cool.
And a lot of opportunities, so I think the mental health part, it's giving us a community we didn't have before, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you're sharing your story, right, on Instagram, and you get a good response from that, too.
Yeah, honestly, I would say it's 95% positive. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys do an amazing job. And like I was saying at lunch, when I looked right back to the very beginning, and you have this very consistent look and feel. And there's an element there of fashion and art and creativity that's been amazing right from the beginning. That's part of what,
worried about it not looking cohesive.
No, it doesn't, you approach it however you want. And you guys talked about a lot of what you've done is intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've got this fashion sense that you were saying you can use to reach a much larger audience than just the folks in agriculture, even though most of the people on your page are
and
the
agriculture. That's definitely why we started it.
Yeah.
Because we are into fashion. We wanted to keep that a part of it and to reach more people. So,
We didn't want to be just agriculture because then you're just talking to other farmers. And there's such a disconnect in society where your food comes from and who's producing it. And it's just, we wanted to talk to a bigger audience if we were going to do this platform.
But then we also wanted to have fun with the fashion side and being creative.
The fashion side is fun. It's super creative. On days that we do an intense shoot where, like, maybe that two-faced one, it took a little bit more time where we were half farmers, half glammed up. That one took a bit more time, but it was really fun because most of our shots are 10 to 20 minutes. That's it. And that one was maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But it was fun. So we enjoy it. It's kind of a creative outlet for us.
Well, it's fascinating because your story is very much you guys just being authentic in your daily life, us kind of getting a window into your lives and your all the cool things that you guys do. But the art, that takes some planning and some work.
Yeah,
who's the...
Sometimes
it's random.
A lot of these times it's like, we don't have a picture for today. What are we doing?
The Valentine's.
Make it up as you go.
Yeah.
It was just Valentine's Day. We did some Valentine's makeup. Stephanie, honestly, those were like...
Zit patches that look like hearts.
And she's like, let's just stick these on our face. So that's how that happened. And it honestly took 10 minutes to do our makeup.
Yeah.
10 minutes to do the shot, and that was it. And it looks like we put a lot of effort in. We did, but it was just a... off the cuff, let's stick these to our face, let's go.
It's very hard to plan a shoot. It's like very, like the day before would be the most we'd ever plan.
I see.
Unless we have like some crazy idea, but usually,
we're usually just winging it. We have a lot of inspiration from other creative people on Instagram.
Like Tezza is a big inspiration.
Yeah, Tezza.
We all want to be Tezza.
Yeah.
Really? Who's Tezza?
She's a big fashion influencer. She's a musician. She's just another woman who's extremely strong, doing all these creative things, so many outlets. She's a big inspiration for us.
She's from New York.
Yeah.
So who are you guys following? Is it a lot of fashion? Or?
I would say it's a mix. It's a mix. Our page, who we're following, is very similar to our page because we would be following...
fashion brands, models.
Millennial farmer.
Love that guy. High heels and canola fields.
Yeah.
Nickelback.
He's actually our cousin.
It's funny.
Get out! No way!
I don't know if we should admit that.
Oh gosh, everybody's gonna hate
really?
Us. We're gonna lose all our followers.
Everybody loves them. Don't worry. They're just saying that.
No,
it's just a
but
friend.
I think
it's
somehow we're like.
Did you see them when they came to Brandon? You must have been VIP.
No.
What?
No. We are like maybe.
I don't
four.
Think he doesn't know.
Our
us.
Grandpas, our great grandpas, or our grandpas were cousins. I don't know how it works, but we're very distant.
Yeah, you don't get the VIP passes.
No.
Or...
no.
Jeez.
We try not to tell people that. Oops.
Chad, well, the whole internet knows
out.
Now.
Yeah.
Everybody, we can edit it out. Not. Chad won't even know what happened.
Just kidding.
You can just edit in some cool like Nickelback video at that point. You know, the one with the house and they're all partying at the pool?
Yeah.
Definitely haven't been there.
No.
Never seen
they
him.
They never
live.
Invited us there. Maybe when we get big time on the jewels.
Maybe coming on your show.
Yeah.
So, Chad, how's the new tour coming in 2025?
Yeah.
So you guys are your reach seems to be exploding quickly. I mean, you could sort of chart your bell curve here. What is it that you want to use your platform for? You talked about mental health, but you want to reach the consumer too. You think you can do some good there?
Yeah. I think that's a big issue right
now. Like where your food comes from is important. So we like to do a post on that. We don't like to throw companies under the bus or anything, but we like to promote companies that are supporting local. And I don't know, this big fast food kick, there was one company that was very much anti-hormones, and some of the other fast food companies were not pushing that, and that anti-hormone thing is just a lot of fear-mongering, I think. So just kind of showing people that you shouldn't believe everything you read in the media or see
with celebrities.
Like the big negative push on cattle industry right now and stuff. Instead of getting your information from celebrities, like, get it from the farmer. We're not cattle farmers, but go talk to a cattle farmer.
Yeah.
Get your information
from that. New Mexico Milkmaid is a good one for dairy and,
yeah.
The account.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, instead of the average public getting their information from these other sources, get it from the farmers. There's a lot of good Instagram accounts that are from farmers.
And that are really willing to talk to you. Yeah.
So we want to be one of those voices. I don't think we're going to change the world, but just be one of those voices that people can ask. Not that we know all the answers either, but we're in this industry.
So what do you actually want consumers to know about what you do?
Well, a lot of people think it's big commercial farms, and I don't think that's true. There are a lot of big farmers, but a lot of it is these small, like, we're a family farm. It's the two of us and our dad, and we're making malt barley. Like, that's where your beer is coming from.
And that, like, food has never been safer than it is now. Like, a lot of people are so concerned about organic and stuff like that. And, you know, in North America, we're very privileged with the food that we have. And other countries are not that privileged. Like, they're just happy to have food. And I think we've kind of lost that in society, that we just need to be grateful for what we have. And we need farms to continue the way we are and have conventional farming. And organic's not maybe the answer.
So do you guys think if you're positive for long enough, it's going to have some impact?
We are a little controversial at times, like when we post about chemical, because we are both ground crew for we're both ground crew for our dad's spray business, and people don't like when we talk about chemical, but there's not very much chemical coming out of those booms, and it's important to talk about that. Like, the technologies that the chemical companies have is pretty incredible, that they can take care of these plants and get enough yield to feed the world. I think that's important. I don't think chemicals are wonderful by any means. Like, I would love to eat organic solely too, and we have our own garden, we make our own food that way, but there has to be a balance. You cannot feed the world on organic only, and there are a lot of negative side effects to organic. You need more land, you need more fossil fuels, you're going over the soil a lot more, and people don't talk about that side of it. It's not black and white.
It sounds like it's a pretty word. Like, it's a nice word, but
it's not black and white. There's more to the solution than just organic or conventional. You need to kind of show the consumer that. And I don't think the media does a good job explaining that, maybe.
Well, now the bigger concern is that we only have 10 years to live unless we stop using coal.
Yeah. So who cares? We're all doing it anyway.
Time is running out.
Yeah.
Enjoy it while it lasts, but that is a big conversation going forward in agriculture. Mm-hmm. How do you guys see yourself as part of the matrix here? Our prime minister, which I don't want to get too political here, but he just said, our prime minister just said, if you're not doing business that aligns with climate change, then you're not doing business. How do you guys see what you guys do on the farm?
There is no way you can't.
There's no
get
way
away
you
from
can't
using
farm.
Diesel.
Yeah, like,
they don't have electric tractors, so.
Like, the problem is not from the farmers. You got to start putting pressure on those.
On companies to change.
To make technology. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to get into that so much because it's, like, a very difficult problem. But if you crush farmers with carbon tax and stuff, that's where your food's coming from, so you gotta be a little careful with that, I think.
And if you're gonna tax people to death with carbon tax, like, you gotta be putting that towards solutions, which I don't know if we are.
Should be paying us for the carbon that we're putting back into the soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the oxygen that's created via the plants that we fertilize and et cetera and so forth.
Yep.
But you guys are in a unique opportunity with your reach, especially, you know, being able to reach the larger public to talk to them about this kind of stuff that maybe others can't in a way that's meaningful, because they might get you and like you because you're, you know, fashionable and funny and cool and all those things.
Oh, well, I don't know.
But you guys aren't fashionable and funny? I mean,
I would describe ourselves as
very
dorky
maybe.
But
why would you come on this show, two people in front of a fern, if you weren't funny and fashionable?
I don't know.
So,
But yeah, so back to the farming. What do you, are you, how do you see this whole precision ag world? Are you guys getting involved? You got any fancy technology? You just keep it simple, stupid? Or?
We're pretty simple. Yeah. We got some old GPS.
We got some old like the Trimble manicure model or what? The wheel?
We got
our combines don't have
anything. Yeah, we run our combines without GPS. Like no auto steer, but our sprayer and our drill are on auto steer. We're just kind of cheap with that. Like we, our farms, the equipment we have now, we're not upgrading it. We're kind of going to focus more on buying land at this point and not upgrading any equipment. That's kind of where our strategy is at the moment.
So you can buy some more land, eh?
Perhaps.
We'll see.
See
if out next
hopefully
week.
Someone in Rivers is listening. And
yeah.
The phone's starting to ring.
Help us out.
Looking for land.
For a deal.
Looking for a good deal. Putting it out there.
Yeah.
That's cool. As far as farming philosophy goes, you guys keep it pretty simple. That's, you have a couple of core values when it comes to farming, the farm business?
Yeah, we're pretty simple, I would say. We do pretty much, like we do a lot of, our dad likes to do little experiments. Like he was one of the first people to do the straight cutting in our area and
stripper headers.
Stripper headers for our wheat and our barley to get it off quicker so it doesn't get rained on. He likes to do these little things and the neighbors are always a little weirded out, but sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. The straight cutting was really good.
It's good if you can weird the neighbors out just a bit.
Yeah, like the neighbors.
You don't want them too calm. Like.
A year that we grew our whole farm of straight cut canola, they were like phoning our dad, like, hey, we can come out the swath here. Like,
want to have an intervention?
Yeah. So. They really wanted to swath for us. But we keep it pretty simple just because we have so much else going. Like, it's our dad is Springland manufacturing and then the airplanes. So we try to keep it simple so that that part of our life is pretty low-key, I guess, like in terms of risk. We do little plots that would be changing it up every year, but for the most part, we keep it low risk to keep focus on the other things in our life.
So you guys are entrepreneurs from a long line of entrepreneurs. Tell me about that.
Yeah, our whole family really is.
Love it.
Yeah, our grandpa, our
tell
mom,
me more.
Our dad.
Our grandpa used to farm and then it got taken away from him, and then he started up a grout, like, backhoe company, plumbing. So then our uncle took that over this year, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then our dad started Springland with his two brothers in the 80s, 85.
Mm-hmm. They make grain handling equipment, and they only started to do that because they bought some bin sweeps in the 80s, and they didn't like them. They thought they were not good quality, and they proposed making their own to Dave Wall of Wall Grain, and that just took off. Dave Wall bought some product from them, and the rest is history. They are still big partners with with Wall Grain. That's one of our biggest dealers, and they sell worldwide, and it's a pretty cool company.
It's amazing.
I guess I should say our grandpa and our mom's side had the farm and then started his own company.
Yeah.
And our dad's, like, our opa farmed.
Yeah.
And they came here. Yeah, so yeah.
What's your dad's craziest invention he's ever made?
Well, I would say the most influential one would be the U-trough. He was a big push behind that U-trough unload in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then he produced this UTL 40. Maybe some of you have it.
don't buy one if you don't.
It's the best.
You guys should sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, it's the best truck loading auger on the market. I would say it's in between a conveyor and an auger because that U-trough shape allows the grain to be damaged much less than a traditional auger. It also has way higher capacity. Because it'll fill to the top with no constriction points, and that auger has really changed the industry. And this year, a different company copied it, which is a big form of flattery, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and he was a big, that was...
He was the first, yeah, they were the first ones to come out with a U-trough unload, and now it's kind of the industry standard.
Yeah.
So
I would say that's maybe one of his, it's crazy, because at the time, nobody was doing that, and he really pushed it, and they did a lot of testing with the brothers and the company, and it just took off, so it's pretty cool.
Well, we were talking about your dad as a character in the pantheon of people that are showing up on your page.
and how much people love him and how charismatic it is. And I think part of it is authenticity, because to catch a man like that on social media, you know, doing the stories, is not something that most guys of your dad's generation pick up.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that he doesn't care that we do social media while farming.
Yeah.
He's very accepting.
He seems to play into it.
And like,
sometimes
he likes it. He honestly likes it. There's times where we want to get a shot and we're like extremely busy. There's rain coming and we'll just get a 2-second picture for our page, and he's right into it with us. He'll be, he'll be jumping in there.
Yeah. Well, you said he's your biggest fan.
Yeah.
I think people actually like him more than us.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Do you think he's going to get his own page?
Well, he has his own page.
Oh, he does have his own page. He's one of those guys that doesn't have a profile picture and he's never posted, or does he actually
act? He posts, yeah, occasionally.
That's good.
Yeah.
He mostly goes on Instagram to look at Boston Terriers. Like one day at work, it was raining or something, so we were sitting in the truck.
Dogs.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the truck for probably an hour looking at Boston Terrier videos.
Yeah. So he's on Instagram. He likes it.
Oh, he loves it. Yeah, he loves Instagram.
Yeah.
So he's a pilot.
He is a pilot.
And he just won an award.
Yeah, he won Pilot of the Year this year for CAAA, Canadian Aerial Applicators.
So what does that mean? How do you get nominated and become a recipient of that?
Somebody in the industry has to nominate you. So his
And you've had to have been in the industry for a few years. Like
I think
years.
You have to be in the industry for at least five years.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other criteria was, but some people in the industry have to nominate you. So business partners of his earlier plane, they nominated him.
That's amazing.
He won it. So it was pretty cool. We all went to Victoria last week and he got the award, and then we all got the flu at the banquet. So
you didn't get to celebrate.
Coronavirus or just a regular flu?
No, it was a regular flu.
Okay.
This is a terrible joke, but he was drinking a Corona.
Yeah, we were in Chinatown.
Did you guys have your masks on? Did you wash your hands?
We did, but we still ended up with the flu. But it was only 24 hours, so we got through it.
Well, you get quarantined for 2 weeks in Victoria. It's not the worst sentence.
It was definitely not good.
The weather's pretty nice out there. It's pretty beautiful
there. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Travel seems to be a component of your life. Tell us
more
about that.
We definitely like to travel and see the world.
The monkeys in Florida.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I had no idea until this
enthralled.
Year.
Enthralled.
That's not
They're not native there, though.
No. But
that's like escaped circus monkeys type thing.
It was escaped Silver Springs
Park monkeys. Back in
like the
60s or 70s, a guy released them onto an island thinking they'd be a good attraction, not realizing that they can swim. So they just swam off the island. And then he did it again, put them on the same island, and then they swam off again.
There's a lot. We were on a kayak, like a 5-mile kayak, and we probably saw 80 monkeys or more.
Yeah.
We hope that you are enjoying this episode of the Growing the Future podcast. Please take the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhardt Ag Solutions, at eberhardtagsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm. And now, back to the show.
They have taken over that little river.
Very aggressive.
They're
as
not.
Well.
Are they friendly? They look like little buggers.
They didn't hurt us, but when we got back, they said they have been known to bite tourists.
And they carry bad
and they
diseases,
can jump.
So
they can jump anywhere. Like you're on the river with them, and they could easily jump on your paddleboard or whatever.
But. We got quite close to them, but then. I read an article after, and we should probably not have been that close. Cause
it was a little scary. But we do like to travel, and we do like to travel with no plans.
We like to go places and just meet up with locals and do whatever they would do.
Yeah.
We don't like to do very touristy things.
One of our best trips we've ever been on, we went to Chile 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My husband was water skiing there at the Worlds, and he... So we went there, and it was just incredible. After we did a hike in the Andes, the people on that hike told us to go to this private beach. We went there, stayed at a hostel. We were the only ones in this beach town in Chile with, 100-foot cliffs, the ocean,
the
crabs,
most beautiful place,
best surf. It was incredible. And then we met two guys there who paid for us to go to a winery our last day because... We had offered them fish we bought on the beach. So we like to just travel really organically and meet people and just go with the flow and see where it takes us. Because we just followed the locals there, and it was very rewarding. We got to see things we never would have otherwise. It was really cool.
Yeah.
There's a couple islands off Chile where most of the world's fertilizer came from before 1908 when the Haber-Bosch process was invented.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a very unique place in the world.
It is. Because it's so long and skinny, they have so many different climates. Like
best food I've ever had in my life was there. And we've been to Italy. And Italy had good food too.
Yeah, I would say Chile was
almost
like
we're foodies.
Yeah,
you guys live like the best life.
I would say I am a hardcore food snob. Yeah.
This is why everybody's living vicariously through you.
Well, we like to do things in a really, like, follow the locals, go to a local restaurant, never go to chains. And you get such good experiences from that, I think.
Yeah.
Like, we're foodies, but, like, in a...
I don't like super expensive food, but it's just got to be good.
Yeah. Unique food.
Unique and good.
Shout out to the Firehouse. Lunch was awesome.
Yeah. Firehouse, Shangela. This is one of my faves.
Yeah.
There's some good restaurants in Brandon, too.
Yeah.
There is. There's some real gems.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, we avoid those chains, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you guys seem to have a really close dynamic.
Well, we do everything together. So
yeah, we kind of have to.
At least on social media. I don't know. Like.
Yeah, I'm loud and I handle...
Very loud in the morning.
Yeah, and I handle my...
That's a great trait.
I would say if we get in an argument, I want to get it out now. Like, I want to hash it out and yell. Not yell, but like, let's hash it out.
Sometimes it's yelling.
Sometimes yell, maybe.
Sometimes yelling.
Okay. And then Steph...
No punching, though, right? Or kicking?
Well, maybe when we were
Sandra
young,
might, yeah.
But Steph gets really quiet, and it drives me insane because she won't say anything for a few days. Just like our dad, if he gets annoyed, he just won't say anything.
She's more like your dad?
Yeah. I'm more like our mom, I would say, in the way we handle it. But we do fight. We do fight here and there.
Quite a bit, yeah. No, I don't know.
Is it going to be a disagreement today? I got the referee here. Is
No, we don't fight a lot.
I think we just don't. We don't hide the fact that when you do everything together, you're going to have disagreements.
Yeah, people think we never fight.
Like, my husband is afraid of conflict, so he thinks conflict's not real. And, you know what? It's real. If you're going to spend a lot of time together.
It's happening right now.
Yeah. If you're going to spend a lot of time together, we work together. Our friends are the same.
Yeah, we do everything.
We show horses together.
Is there anything you don't know about each other?
Mm, I'm sure there is.
Oh, yeah. Secrets, for sure.
There's a lot of secrets.
No.
Things you don't know about me.
It's but yeah, like pretty much everything is together because even like we water ski and we horse show together too.
Yeah.
Like even our fun sports.
Our hobbies, our work,
every day,
life.
You guys see the guys together.
Everything.
And our family still goes on like Christmas every
year. We still have supper with our parents like 5 times a week. No.
Yeah, we're really.
Maybe not that
we're
much.
We're just a close-knit family.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's fights. They happen. It's life.
But isn't that one of the gifts though with farming? That you can... Be that close?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, we honestly wouldn't see our dad if we didn't.
Yeah, he's a workaholic, and that's a big part of why I got into farming in the first place, because you just don't see him otherwise. Like, our mom doesn't see our dad very often.
Well, at least he's in the stories now.
He's on Instagram.
Yep. Yeah, he works a lot.
Is your mom part of the farm as well?
She runs parts for us and stuff.
And food. We would starve without her, really.
Yeah, she makes a mean... supper meal. They're always epic.
Yeah.
Like spaghetti squash and I don't know, lazy man cabbage rolls.
She makes
like Greek food. She'll bring Greek food to the field sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
she
knocks it out of the park.
That is sweet.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for the tulips? You're just getting started. You're gonna be on the CBC, you're gonna be on What the Farm podcast, you're gonna be on
We've got a few photo shoots coming up.
I don't know if we're
I am on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, you have a subscription.
No, she actually is on Netflix.
I am on Netflix.
Let's hear it. How'd you get on Netflix? Why don't you tell
me? I was an extra for a little while. I did go to modeling. I was a model for a minute. And
a Hollywood minute?
Yeah. And I was an extra on this show called, what was it called? The
Pinkertons.
I think it's...
The Pinkertons.
Yeah. And I was...
Like, as in the old detective agency
They filmed it north of Winnipeg.
And she's a faded blur in the background.
Yeah, you would only be able to see me if you're really looking for me.
What minute is that of the...
I feel like it's episode 13 or something.
Oh, she knows. Episode 13.
I don't know if that's...
13 and a half.
You know.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't know if that's... correct, but I don't think you'll be able to find me because these guys didn't even know.
Was there a proclivity to be an actress when you grew up?
No, but like
The modeling agency,
I went to Vancouver for a modeling competition and I won an acting thing. You had to do the acting just with our agency. Anyways, I won this acting thing, which is crazy because I'm not, I don't.
She's very quiet. She's a
natural. I don't feel like most I've heard her good at acting. No. Anyways.
At least you're getting to know each other a little bit here. That's great. Thanks for coming in.
I'm on Netflix. Yeah.
So you might be doing some acting, though. I mean, you guys are open to anything that comes along.
You know what? That's a big part of the way our parents raised us was to be very open-minded. So if an opportunity presents itself, we will jump on it because you never know who you're going to meet. But yeah, I would say open-mindedness is very key to the way they raised us. So just jumping on every opportunity.
Yeah, like our dad.
So you're like, yes, man. To a point.
Yes, I mean, like,
you know, East Ventura.
Yeah, like that movie, I hate. That
actor. Yeah. You hate?
That actor.
Okay, tell us more about that.
No, I don't care. I just don't like him, so that movie.
Jim Carrey? You hate Jim Carrey?
I like him as the Grinch. Yeah. Okay, that's about it.
So far we've got Nickelback, we've got Jim Carrey.
Yeah, we don't like these people. Just kidding. As we were talking about positive.
Canadian icons that we just don't see eye to eye with.
Anyway, open-mindedness.
Back to the positivity of our channel.
That's what we like to put.
No hate, only love.
Except for certain actors and actresses and bands, rock bands. You will have a lot of opportunities, it looks like, coming up here. And it was funny
because this week is kind of slammed.
This week is nuts,
We've never had this many things going on with the Tulips. This week we're pretty slammed. So it's kind of fun. Like, it's exciting. It's different work than what we would normally be doing on the farm or with the business.
You know, I wanted to get you guys on the show before you got too famous for the show.
I don't think we'll ever be too famous.
I was like, gotta get these girls before they get booked up.
We've had the Tulips for 2 years, and there's been maybe 5 moments where somebody has said, "You're the Tulips," and it's hilarious. Where they were excited to see us, which is cool. Like, we love it. Come say hi.
Well, you guys are very cool. I'm sure your fan base is going to continue to grow. And do you have any goals that you set out? You said you were very intentional when you started the page. Do you have any specific goals, or are you just letting
this all happen? We'd really like a sponsorship from Milwaukee Tools.
No. Yeah, Milwaukee Tools. Give us a shout out. Like that grease gun they have.
Frick, they make the best tools. They're just the
killing it. You guys are sponsored, though. You got a few sponsors in there.
Sure, but not Milwaukee Tools.
Okay, this is a big gap in your games.
Yeah, it's a big gap. And I mean, we are the biggest supporter of that grease gun where you can set how many pumps you want. Oh my gosh. When I started farming, your hand?
Oh,
the bruise on your hand from greasing. Are you kidding me?
Incredibly painful, yes.
Well, maybe they'll send some money your way for these kind words. That's what we hope.
Are you famous enough to get us a Milwaukee sponsorship? Just kidding.
I can send an email to somebody in that.
Carhartt. Yeah, we'd like. Yeah, that'd be cool. We'll do a Carhartt.
Know what? We would like to do something like that. Like, partner with a brand and get some design stuff.
If we grew big enough, that would be like a really far away dream. But you could do. It would be cool to do something like that, like Carhartt times the Tulips, and make women's workwear a little bit more fashionable.
Yeah, because there is nothing for women's workwear. When you go to Mark's Work Warehouse, it's nothing.
It's impossible to find steel-toed
work boots. I buy men's jackets all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you get any girl stuff, it's, like, hot pink or purple. There's no, like, chill colors.
Timberland is the only one that produces steel-toed work boots for women that are somewhat stylish.
Mine are Moxie.
She has some, but they just reek.
They're very stinky.
Very stinky.
Yeah, like, we could do some criticism on the women's workwear because she has a pair that look cool, but they don't breathe.
And they're very smelly.
The Timberland ones are the only ones.
Smelling clothes for women is a big issue.
Yeah, well, it's her feet, but they don't.
Oh.
Yeah, the rest of me is smelling fine.
But maybe we can get some smell-oriented sponsors.
Honestly,
on the
show. We have talked about that, like how it would be cool to work with a brand and just produce like a micro line for the Tulips or something, just to make it a little more stylish, and because I think that would go with our brand and the way it is.
So you would collaborate with them to create something bigger.
Yeah.
And they could have reach too and promote you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that would be a big dream. I think we're way too small for that at this point, but maybe in the future.
Yeah.
I love it. What would you say to someone who's not on Instagram?
Why
the heck not? It's so positive.
I love Instagram. I loved it before. Facebook is just kind of toxic sometimes, I think. And Instagram, you get to connect with people. And
it's nice pictures.
I love pictures. Yeah. I've always loved pictures. Like, a good picture is just so powerful. And I think it's fun to be in that platform and seeing other people's creativity. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it. And there's no pressure there. There's no, like, I don't know, political advertisements and stress. It's very carefree. So it's a nice place to go if you need a 5-minute break or whatever. And honestly, our community on there is really cool. We've met really neat people through it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
how is it when people know you and you don't know them? I mean, it's celebrity, right?
I had
one dad come up to me at a farm show with his son, and he was like, "Yeah, my wife wants a picture with you and my kid." So,
sign an autograph.
Yeah, we've had a couple moments where people know us. Like, it's
doesn't
becoming,
happen very often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's pretty cool. It's very flattering that people even care enough to want our picture. It's pretty flattering because we're just some little farm girls that take pictures. So it's pretty cool. It is cool.
Is there anything else you want your fan base to know before we wrap up this show on two people in front of a fern?
I don't know.
Like, the other thing we just try to push is you can be whatever you want to be. A lot of people say you don't look like farmers, and it's like, well, what does a farmer look like? And we just really try to push you can be multifaceted. You don't have to just look like a certain way, or you can be many different things.
Yeah, like, don't judge people. You have no idea what's going on behind that person's look, I think. And that is a big part of how we were raised. And society is so quick to cut everybody down on how you look. And that is a big element of what we are, too. We don't want, like, we don't look like farmers, okay, but that person doesn't look like a business owner or whatever. Mm-hmm. So don't judge people so quickly.
Yeah. Stop being rude.
Stop judging Nickelback.
But if you hate Nickelback, who cares?
You're in with us.
And Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey
and Nickelback.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Thanks so much for coming in. It means a lot
Thanks
to me.
Thanks for having us.
I've been watching you. I think you guys are absolutely amazing what you're doing for agriculture.
Oh, thank you.
Close to my heart, like neighbors, you know, seeing your dad too, just, I don't know. I think we can all relate to, you know, your dad. Inventor, can fix anything.
Yep.
You know, steadfast.
Also very, very artistic.
Yeah. Is he?
Yes.
In what way is he artistic?
He can paint. He did two paintings when he was 10 on cardboard, and they're freaking amazing.
They're a heck of a lot better than that photograph.
Really are. He also
had them in the background.
He also, cutest story of all time, he designed a dress for our mom, had it made. And, like, that was a gift for her. And then he went to Toronto and tried to sell it to some designers.
Yeah. Did she know he was trying to sell her dress?
No. Like, he wanted to sell the design.
Oh, yeah, I see. Like, it wasn't like he took the one dress.
This was, like, early on in their marriage, I think. Or maybe even dating.
That's just a power move.
Yeah.
Very adorable.
And he's, like,
super
the cutest, and it's, most humble little farm dude.
It's a cool dress. It's, like, one sleeve, black velvet, short.
So you got the fashion from your dad.
Could have.
Right? Yes. If we put these things together.
Really? He's a very stylish farmer, too. He wears skinny jeans.
Yeah. Okay, skinny jeans. That's a big part of the program.
Yeah, he always wears
blessing. When is he going to be more of a feature in the photo shoots here? It sounds like we got to get your...
Well, I mean, he could be anytime, but he's always working, so...
Yeah.
The odd time he makes it in there.
Got to book him in.
Yeah. You got to schedule him in.
Do you take you guys flying often? Is that part of the family trips you get to?
I made him take me up this summer in the 802 for the first time. It was his first passenger, actually.
The 802?
Yeah. Like the air tractor. It's a big, it's the biggest
spray plane
in the industry.
Turbine?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just started flying it this summer. So he just took that over from our other pilot.
Yeah, because he's been flying a Dromedar, which is a piston aircraft, a lot smaller.
And
a lot slower.
A lot slower. And he took over this 802, and it's pretty cool to watch him.
It's like drunk a sports on power. Car for him.
Yeah, I like to go up with him. We never go for like an actual field, but he'll take us up and fly us around. Yeah.
But when we're spraying, like it's 18-hour days. Like we're at the airport all day, and we're just working.
And he's a firefighter.
Well, that's for crop spraying.
The 802 fought fires.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore with the Manitoba government cutting it, making it private. So
yeah,
maybe in the future. But
well, you guys got lots on the go, and it's going to be really interesting watching your page as you go forward. And I want you guys to come speak at Manitoba Ag Days.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Be really good. You guys would be great advocates.
Down. We'd be up for it.
Yeah, public speaking, and I don't know what else.
You probably have a nervous anxiety attack. No, no, it would be good.
I had that for sure at one point, but. You guys should be proud of what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Incredibly talented. I think it's really going to grow. And thank you for standing up for the industry. You know, I was at Farm Forum recently, and someone asked Brad Wall about how best we can advocate. And he said, like, there's a number of women on social media that are reaching people like never before. And we, you know, so you guys are doing a great job. And I don't know, is it hard to be a woman in ag? We talked about that a little bit.
Not for us. I feel like because of our dad.
Our dad's so supportive of us.
But
the strength thing sometimes, like for fixing stuff, I would say it's a bit hard.
Yeah, it is.
Because I'm not. You really learn how to use leverage to your advantage. But although sometimes being this small is a good thing because I had to crawl behind the hopper in the combine to
fix being small is
a
helpful.
Chain on one of the augers this summer or this fall, and I was behind the grain hopper in that little tiny space putting a pin in the chain and Bill couldn't reach it. Nobody could get in there.
Or that hydraulic hose on the 8650 this spring.
Oh, her spider arms got hooked back up.
We were under there for hours.
There was no way we could get this.
I was claustrophobic in there. It was stuck between the engine and the frame.
They had to drag you out by your ankles in the end?
Pretty much. So sometimes being tiny is an advantage, but honestly the strength thing is a big downfall sometimes.
Yeah.
But as far as
things aren't as physical as they used to be though.
No.
Yeah, like Arnold Innovations really helped with your unplugger. Yeah,
Arnold Innovations. That reverser saves, like I don't have to call anybody if my combine plugs, I don't have to call anybody. I can set it up. I still want Doug to make it a little lighter because it's a bit heavy yet, but
Doug,
I can make it work. I can make it work.
You can do it, Dougie.
Yeah, I guess that's something for women, just to find those solutions
those
like
secrets,
that.
Yeah.
That's Bushel good Plus.
Yeah.
Is another good.
Yeah, you guys are.
Yeah, let's shout out Bushel Plus over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought I'd throw that in there.
Really good friends. Really
they're
good
all
friends.
Sponsors.
Yeah, yeah, and they're awesome.
Marcel is very, very
love Marcel.
Awesome. Yeah.
And Doug.
Yeah, those are two
some really
good
great
friends.
Local entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Talk about supporting local.
Yeah. And we really push their products. We use them both all.
Marcel's going to come on the show. I need to have Doug on too, but.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, Marcel is so awesome.
Yeah.
He's really cool.
Yeah, great inventor too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Him and your dad probably get along good.
Oh, they get along great. Yeah. They love that. And Marcel is really a positive light for mental health. I think he's.
Yes.
Has a lot of resources because he's been through a lot, and that's a really
good
person to talk to about.
Incredible comeback, incredible story.
What
he shared there, and I hope that he can come on the show and share that because I think people need to hear that.
Yeah, he's one in a million.
Sometimes we get in this place where I think we feel a little bit sorry for ourselves, but in the grand scope of things, once you get perspective in terms of what can actually happen in this life,
if we're
healthy.
I definitely see that going to the hospital once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be really helpful for perspective.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I hope Marcel comes on here. He's really good. Everybody should hear his
now
story.
Now that you've said it,
I'll tell him.
It's pretty much incumbent upon him that he has to.
Yeah.
Because I'll be like the tulips said.
You have to.
You got to come on the show, man.
Yeah.
No, I've been meaning to, but I think when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. He's awesome. Though.
But we talked about forming like a little entrepreneurial group or whatever too, and just share war stories between those of us that are in business and kind of know what the experience is like.
Yeah.
I think it's running a business is in the same category as farming, or at least I want to be.
Yeah.
That's what I aspire to. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a challenge as well.
Yeah.
But no, you guys are really encouraging. I'm sure you inspire lots of people and keep doing the good work.
Oh, I hope so. I don't know. I still...
Listen, believe in yourself.
Yeah. We're just some little farm girls pushing through.
Well,
I think a lot of this comes from our parents. They're honestly so...
They're
so supportive and very open-minded and just... They really let us be whoever we want to be.
Yeah, like our mom, too. She was a nurse. Decided to go back to school because she fell asleep driving home.
She was working 3 hospitals and she fell asleep while I was 1 year old at home. And she quit, went back to school to be a teacher.
Yeah. And then now she bought a company and she's doing wedding decorating with Lux Premier Events. So,
yeah, so you can reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what our
There's always time to reinvent.
Yeah. this is getting to be motivational.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the title of your talk?
Yeah.
How to reinvent yourself?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think a lot of
what are you guys going to talk about when you talk? I thought you were talking at FCC thing next week, but
no, we're not talking. No, we're just going.
I was
going to
ask you what the title of your talk would be.
No, we're just taking in the event for them and doing some posts on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to give a talk right now, what would the title of it be?
Oh boy. We gotta narrow down all our
things. Yeah, we gotta bring the whiteboard in here.
Yeah, because we probably shouldn't talk about our whole life because we're overwhelming people.
I think, I don't know, dear listener, are you feeling really farming. Overwhelmed right now? You want us to dial it back, edit it down?
I don't know.
No, I think that's what people like about you.
Because we haven't been asked to do any talks yet. And when that time, if that time comes, I guess
we would could do a cooking show.
What theme music would you have?
Probably Nickelback.
Just kidding.
No, that would be good.
But yeah, we could do a cooking show.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is my kitchen.
You can do a cooking show.
Well, have you
not seen This Is My Kitchen?
Yeah. We do a cooking show. The first one.
I haven't caught that.
They're on our stories.
They're more of like, our cousins started this and theirs was called This Is Your Kitchen and theirs was very legit. They had good videography. Then ours was like a spoof of that called This Is My Kitchen.
The first one was us making sandwiches for the guys at the field.
While we were driving.
She was driving and I was making sandwiches. And it's... So that's like our...
Maple leaf stock went through the roof. Like the bologna uptake was...
Yeah. I don't know.
This sandwich is sponsored by...
Yeah.
Our last one was gourmet tater tots. And like those are delicious. So
yeah. Check it out on our stories.
Definitely make those.
Yeah. They're all highlighted there.
Fashion, food, family, farming.
Yeah. We do it all.
Boss interiors.
Yeah.
Travel.
Bus interiors are key to the whole equation. Yeah, you can't do it without them.
Well, you guys are living the life, so just keep living it. So those of us that aren't that exciting can live vicariously for you.
I think everyone can be excited.
Yeah. Okay, ladies. Well, high fives.
Yeah. Oh, that was a weak one.
Yeah.
Look at the elbow.
The connection.
That was a super weak one.
First try. We improved it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And good luck with everything going forward.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Hopefully 2020 is a little bit better than 2019 on the crop year.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of the best years in history, I'm sure. Since last year was the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the year before that was the worst.
Was it the worst year in your farming careers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Our dad said it was, too, in his.
Yeah, it was 100% the worst year I've ever had, I think.
I guess
our soybeans were not good.
Are you ready to start again? Like, is the sentiment shifted? You're kind of feeling it?
Yeah, I think our barley really saved our positivity because the barley was really good
this year.
Like, we have no complaints there. The canola was a bit below our average, but it was okay. And the soybeans, like, crushed our soul.
Yeah, we had such a good run of good soybeans, though.
Sounds like soybeans are going to die in Manitoba here.
Yeah, like our dad's very against them at this point.
Okay, so the list now extends from Nickelback to Jim Carrey and soybeans.
Man, soybeans used to be gold to us.
I like growing soybeans, but they are very finicky. You got to be careful when you put them in, and the season has to be just right, and it wasn't just right this year for them. So
can't seem to get the right moisture at the right time, and the heat units.
And the heat.
But this is going to be under a million.
They're pretty picky.
There's 2.3 million in Manitoba and... 2 years ago, I think it was, and it sounds like they'll be under a million this year.
Yeah, they were.
The average yield last year was like 8 bushels.
Oh, we did good then.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
We killed it!
the average soybean yields.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, great. I'm happy for you about your soybeans.
It's... Yeah.
They barely paid for themselves. So it's great.
Break even.
I don't think they did pay.
Nobody should ever have any more expectations in farming than break even. That's the long term.
Yeah.
You just look for your land to go up.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck, ladies, on everything you're about to do. You're going to kill it. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.
Thanks for listening to the Growing the Future podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for highlights of the show. Also, full-length videos of the show are available on our website, www.growingthefuturepodcast.ca, and on YouTube. We would very much appreciate if you took the time to visit our sponsor, Eberhardt Ag Solutions, at eberhardtagsolutions.ca, where you can find innovative solutions that transform your farm.